flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Here we go, Digital Adele back with another Hoops Profile Beyond the Backboard podcast for you with my co-host Matt Hanifin. How are you doing today, Matt?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. It's December. I'm cold. This is why I have a sweatshirt and a hoodie on, plus a hat. I said sweatshirt and a hoodie. It's the same thing.
You did.
A hat. I'm very cold because it's very cold outside. But no, man, I'm doing good, man. Hoops is underway. Again, as we talk about every time, college basketball season is now a month underway. The NBA season, month and a half underway. We have a lot of hoops on every single night, so that's the beauty of all of this. How are you doing?
I'm doing absolutely outstanding, man. Hoops galore. I'm a little tired, worked all day, but I had hoops last night. We had the Miami Heat broadcast on the Five Reason Sports Network on playback. We had the Duke versus who did they play last night?
Auburn.
That's right, Auburn. Got to watch a couple of potential draft picks. They're freaking rookie for Auburn, man. Rookie, the freshman, the what's his name, Thad or Tad or something like that. That dude is quick as a hiccup, man. He can get wherever he wants. Lefty shooter. Everybody talks about Broom, the big guy, but man, I like that guard they have. He's really, really good. So I'm excited, man. I'm in my element, you know, working on multiple different things. You're a man about town in terms of being with all kind of different projects and people and everywhere. I'm just kind of inundated with doing my own thing for Hoops Profile. It's just a lot of work. So for people, the peek behind a curtain, I do all the video work, all the chat work, all the graphics. I do the video edits for all the breakdowns and my Igor video, man, BYU was really out to get me. They cut off like big chunks of my video, and some dude was like complaining. I was like, oh, my bad, dude. But we'll try to do better next time. We're a work in progress around here. But before we get into it, tell people where they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
At MPH _A24_, that's where you can find me on Twitter to see all my dumb tweets or smart tweets, depending on your perspective. VendettaSportsMedia.com, HotHotHoops.com, MountainWestConnection.com, WatchPlayback.tv /5RSN, where Adele, myself, others from the Five Reasons Sports Network watch the Miami Heat, no matter how much they frustrate us, or in last night's case against the Los Angeles Lakers, excite us, even though the Lakers' effort was so just remarkably poor. Yeah, man, I'm everywhere.
Absolutely. You can find me as Digital Adele anywhere on social media, you know, on Twitter, Blue Sky, on YouTube. You can find me under Hoops Profile. You know, that's this channel here where you found us today. The podcast. So this is some news. Our podcast is coming back 2 days a week. If you have not caught on, it'll be recorded live Tuesdays and Thursdays. The way YouTube renders things, though, I can't get it up on the podcast channels until the following day. So that means for us Wednesdays and Fridays, if you listen on like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, any of those mediums. So live Tuesdays and Thursdays, the replay will be out Wednesdays and Fridays. So we're going to keep this thing rolling. We're going to get right into the Sacramento Kings, and we're going to talk a very polarizing prospect. And that is Devin Carter for the Sacramento Kings. Now, with Devin Carter in college, he was a scoring guard, but he was a tenacious defender, long arms, I mean, in crazy long arms relative to his size as for a guard. Unorthodox shooting form, to say the least. And but he put up buckets, man. He was scoring like 20 points a game or something like that back in college. And he was the main attraction for his school. What are your thoughts on Devin Carter transitioning from college to the NBA?
Devin Carter was a Matt Hanifin favorite in the pre-draft process. Although there are some like reasonable concerns, like he shot 37.7% from three in college his last year. His first 2 years, it was below 30%. And so, you know, the immediate question that rears its ugly head is like, all right, how real is that shot? Like you saw the attempts went up, you know, it skyrocketed from like 3.5 or whatever to like 7 from his sophomore to his junior season. And then like, so you just wonder how much, you know, how do you factor all that in? Like, we haven't seen him play yet. Cause I mean, the unfortunate part about his off season was he tore his labrum. He hasn't played yet. He didn't play in summer league. I've seen videos lately of him like shooting, like after shoot around and like after games with the Kings. I don't know if that means he's going to be back anytime soon. Hopefully it's within the next couple of weeks, but I don't know. Thankfully the torn labrum wasn't on his shooting shoulder. Cause then I think there'd be some concern. It was his left shoulder. He's a right-handed shooter, but it was like a little bit of a funky shot. Like it kind of looks like a shot put to some extent. And so like there were concerns there. There are concerns like, you know, he's, you know, 6'2", 6'3", wasn't a great playmaker, but he was like an okay playmaker. But obviously like when you're like a 6'2", 6'3", like he's a combo guard in a smaller person's body. But then again, like you talk about the wingspan, he was an absolute bulldog defensively. Like he was one of the best defenders in the class at the point of attack. Like it was like he, Jamal Shedd, and like maybe like a couple other guys, but he was such a bulldog defensively at the point of attack. He was very good to like getting in the passing lanes. He was an excellent, excellent shot blocking guard. He was an excellent, excellent rebounding guard. Like he averaged nearly 9 rebounds a game for being as tall as he is. Like that's legitimately insane. I don't care what conference it is, what level of competition it is, how long he's playing it again. Like that's ridiculous. And so he was one of my favorites, even though there are concerns about the shot, there are concerns about the playmaking, obviously coming off of a torn labrum when he hasn't gotten any run in summer league or in the regular season. Like, I wonder what the acclimation process will look like for him. Cause it's like, he didn't get any of those developmental reps in the off season. So I have my questions. I hope he's able to figure it out at least as a rookie. And I'm guessing he'll probably play in summer league, maybe an extended sample during like, you know, 2020, like the summer of 2026 or 2025, excuse me. So like there are some questions, but he was definitely a favorite just because of what he could do defensively, his shooting range specifically, and then just the winning plays that he had on the basketball court, despite some of his deficiencies.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned it, winning plays. That's absolutely what he does. If he was on a more talented team, I don't think he would be the primary go-to option for scoring, for example, but he would have been a guy who absolutely impacts winning on both ends of the floor. Timely cuts to the basket, ability to, you know, draw fouls and get to the free throw line. Those long arms, man, that's the asset. Like you said, amazing shot blocking guard because of that wingspan. And also in the passing lanes, being able to get out on the break. What's up, Ryan? I appreciate you stopping by. He is a channel member. And Ryan, I don't know if you know this, but if you click the chat emotes, because you're a channel member, you have some special Hoops profile emotes that you can put in the chat, like this googly-eyed basketball. So there's all kind of fun stuff for being a channel member. Not just that, but being able to get access to our content early. Thanks for bringing that up, Ryan. I really appreciate you. But let's talk Devin Carter. So Devin Carter, the questions I have about his shot, right? Like he would hit some threes and he would hit some step backs, but that form is so inconsistent and really just ugly that like he would swish one and then he'd like airball the next two. Like it just was all over the place. So I don't know how much he's going to be able to translate as a main scoring option in the NBA. What also worries me is that a lot of his game was mid post stuff and low post stuff. And that's not going to happen in the NBA either. I just don't see that with the way they play. And I have legitimate concerns about, is he going to be able to keep that style of play up offensively? The other thing I have a question about is his fit in Sacramento. Like Keon Ellis has really emerged as a long rangy defender that can, you know, knock down threes and take on the best player. You pair him with De'Aaron Fox and like, you've got a dynamic backcourt defensively as it is. Are you drafting Carter just to bring him off the bench, or is he a De'Aaron Fox insurance card in case De'Aaron Fox decides to take his talents elsewhere? Cause he is not opted into that contract. He's said he will not resign because he needs to go deep in the playoffs, and we can see where the Sacramento Kings record is so far this season. It's not looking good. So what are your thoughts with the roster fit for him?
To me, like I think of him and Keon more as like, not that Davion Mitchell was that, but like kind of his replacements.
Okay, the Davion Mitchell replacement. Okay.
Like,
I can see that.
Because they traded Davion to Toronto this offseason. Obviously, Keon's been, to your point, like he's been really good with them so far. But I also see him being like a functional guard that you, especially like when you pair him with Malik Monk off the bench. I think those two can be like functional pieces together. Like, obviously, neither are natural playmakers, but I do like Monk's playmaking a lot, and I do think Carter can be a decent playmaker. The thing that I also forgot to mention about Devin Carter is just how unbelievably athletic he is. Like, just eye-popping athleticism no matter what. Like, he's not afraid to put dudes on a poster. I'm trying to recollect this. Like, he had one of the highest like standing and max versus the combine, right?
He did. He athletically, he popped off the chart at the combine, but I'll caution you this. On the tape, I don't see it. I don't. Whenever he goes to the rim and he's attacking, or I don't see that eye popping athleticism functionally in the games. Maybe you have a different view of it. Maybe you've seen it differently, but I just thought he was a little bit above average athlete in terms of finishing above the rim in college. The way he finished was more because of how physical he was, body wise. Like, he was just a grown man in college. So that's my take on it. I could be wrong, but that's my view of it.
I think it's a combination of both.
Yeah.
Like, I think he was very physical, but I did see like legit athleticism that I think can translate.
Okay. All right. I can't wait to see how it plays out. It's going to be very interesting.
Me too. Especially when we go back to like his role, like I think at least at the start, he's going to come off the bench.
Yeah, for sure.
I think there is some highlight worthy plays that he can make, whether it's on the defensive end, whether it's the athleticism and transition, whatever the case is. But I think he's going to fit well there. Cause like, that's a team, like, I'm not very high on Fox's defense.
Right. Well, I think Fox is a better defender than you give him credit for. I just think he's asked to do so much offensively, he kind of coasts. You know what I mean?
That's part of it. That's part of it. And so I think Devin Carter, like, just again, outside of Keon, you add more juice at the point of attack, because it's like, I think Kevin Herter's a fine team defender. I don't think he's Devin Carter.
Not at all. Not even close. Not even
like,
close.
It's not even close. And I think just that kind of skill set, you add that there. I don't know where they rank in defense. I don't think it's very high. I'm not high on DeMar's defense. I'm not particularly high. Like, Sabonis isn't a good defense. Like, you just add like functional point of attack defense into that.
Point of attack, for sure, in spades. His POA defense is his best attribute. Absolutely.
And so that's where I kind of see him like fitting in and kind of carving out a role, at least initially, while he tries to figure it out offensively amid the coming off an injury. Because I think him adjusting offensively might be a little bit harder than it is defensively for him.
Right. No, I agree. The offensive adjustment is definitely going to be something that's going to be more difficult for him in the NBA game. And like I said, that physical low post back to the basket play that he did in college is not going to work in the NBA. Yeah. It just isn't. But I got a question for you before we talk about something a little bit unrelated. You have to pick. And now I know the value's not the same because Devin Carter is picked 13th overall. And, you know, this gentleman was not picked that high. Would you rather have Devin Carter or Ryan Dunn?
Devin Carter.
Who's the better defender?
Dunn.
Is he? It's tough for me, man. It's tough. I think who's a better defender.
I would lean Dunn only because it's not. I said Dunn pretty quickly.
You did.
That's not an indictment of how like much better he is than Carter. I think Dunn is more versatile. I think he could defend more positions than Carter can.
I can agree with that.
And I think he's also. I also think he's defending the hardest positions consistently.
Yeah, I can agree with that. It probably is
in terms of how good player, because it's like it's a wings league, and so I see the energy and whatnot that and the instincts that Dunn can bring, and like I think he's more suited to defend multiple positions. Not that Carter can. I think Carter can probably defend, you know, at maybe not as a rookie, but in year two, year like he can probably defend 2 to 3 positions for sure.
Right.
And I think he just because of how like I think he, how physically strong he is. I don't really see him as like a guy that you're just going to want to post up. Like if you're like an opposing four or whatever, if Devin Carter gets switched on to you, like I don't necessarily see that as a mismatch. It's like how Marcus Smart was for years. Like,
right.
I just never, or like Kyle Lowry, like just didn't want to see like those guys have great hands. So does Devin Carter. Like, I don't see it as like a necessary like mismatch in the post.
Right.
And so that's kind of where I see Devin Carter at his height defensively.
Mm-hmm.
But I think just with Brian Dunn, like I think he could defend 2 or 3 positions already. And I think I don't see 1 through 5 potential, but I just think it's more consistent with him.
Yeah. No, I get what you mean.
Positions, but I would take Devin Carter because of the offense.
That's the key.
That he can bring along with it.
That's the key.
I'm higher on his offense than Dunn's. But I think the gap is closer defensively.
I think there isn't a huge gap defensively, and I believe that his offense, Devin Carter's, is miles ahead of Ryan Dunn's. Even though Ryan Dunn shot really well early in the season, his handle is better than we anticipated, but his playmaking isn't going to be there, and that's something Devin Carter can do. He can playmake. But yeah, I like them both. I just thought it's an interesting question because they're very similar in style in terms of their games. But this leads me into another question because we were robbed, absolutely robbed of Devin Carter's rookie season. There's a franchise that you and I cover because we are contributors on the 5 Reason Sports Network who specialize in covering the Miami Heat. So the question,
the Dolphins? No,
Fins? No. the question I'm going to pose to you on draft night and during the draft process, the fans of this organization that we're talking about were absolutely rabid for Devin Carter. And you were one of them in terms of your evaluation. You wanted Devin Carter. I know you did deep down
among,
in your heart.
Yeah,
and soul.
Among multiple people, but yes, I did.
Among multiple people. And if they were going to go guard, you know, there was Jalen Tyson in the conversation. There was Tristan Da Silva. There was Devin Carter. If the Miami Heat would have drafted Devin Carter, how would the fan base reacted to him being injured immediately and out for the season?
I mean, we're talking about Heat fans here. No disrespect to Heat fans, but they overreact to everything, positive or negative. So probably would have been a pretty negative reaction given what we saw last year with 35 different starting lineups. And
Jimmy's always hurt. Tyler's always hurt.
It would have been a pretty bad reaction. And it would have been like, well, this is the most Miami Heat thing ever.
Yeah, for sure.
Or at least that's what that's what people would have said. Like,
it would have been peak Miami Heat fan meltdown, man. Pat's washed, Andy Simon's washed, everybody's washed.
Yeah, like, well, it's one of those things where it's like Heat fans want Khalil Ware and Eric Spoelstra on a stake because Ware's not playing right now.
Right.
It's like, we're 20 games into a season. Can
right.
we just calm down a little bit, please?
Yeah. If AC's son would have fell to the Heat, he would have been a Miami Heat. He would have been injured, and they would have been upset just like they are right now.
It probably would have been worse.
But. Right. It probably would have been worse. You're absolutely right about that. We're going to switch gears here because they don't have any other draft picks. They drafted Jamal Shedd, and they shipped him off at the 45th pick to the Toronto Raptors. So we're not going to talk about him because this is not rookies only for the Toronto Raptors. So we're going to switch gears. We're going to talk a little college basketball because, again, this draft class is absolutely freaking loaded. The 2025 NBA draft class, as soon as we're done with all these rookies from the 2024 draft class, we'll exclusively be talking around the NBA rookies and 2025 draft. So last night, I was up late after a long playback session covering the Miami Heat and doing the playback for Five Reasons Sports on the postgame show. And I watched the Duke versus Auburn game. And man, it was a good game. Auburn came out like gangbusters. Their rookie, I keep saying rookie, when these guys are freshmen, they are not, technically they're paid professionals these days with NIL, so maybe you could call them rookies. But anyway, their guard, man, he is so good, and I haven't even had a chance to watch a lot of Auburn's games. And I don't even know where he's ranked. Did you get a chance to watch him at all?
I watched a little bit of it, but there were other college games that I was also like glancing on.
Yeah.
Or I was also watching. Like, I had Texas NC State on. That was a lot of fun. Trey Johnson was going back and forth with a couple of their players. And Trey Johnson is one of the favorites of myself and especially you.
Absolutely love Trey Johnson.
Fresno State, San Diego State, I was watching that as well. There was another one that I was watching. I can't remember which one it was. There was a lot of good hoops on last night.
Ryan Kalkbrenner, that's who you're watching.
No. Absolutely not. Ryan, if you're watching this.
He meant every word of it. He meant every word of it.
But no, I locked in a little bit on Auburn Duke, but it wasn't like,
yeah,
I wasn't like looking at, I was mostly looking, if I was looking at anyone on Auburn, it was Jeanette Room, who has taken college basketball by storm, at least for this first, I don't know how many games they played, 7, 8 games.
You said pull out the broom, sweep. Oh, no, that's baseball.
I'm still not huge on broom yet. At least in terms of like being like a first round guy.
Right.
I think we'll know more as the season goes along. I still have him as like a second round prospect, just in my own head.
Yeah.
I haven't worked on my big board since you and I last did our way too early top 10. I probably should be getting on that. I don't have Ryan Kalkbrenner in my my top 10.
Ryan Kalkbrenner not in your top 10? Oh my
God. No.
Malpractice. That's scouting malpractice. It's a joke, satire. Don't come at me in my mentions. I don't believe Ryan Kalkbrenner should be in the top 10. It's just satire. I cannot find. I'm on Tankathon.
And that's what I'm looking at too. I was looking at it while I'm.
I can't find the other Auburn kid on Tankathon.
He's being slept on.
I think he is. He's way better than what they're giving him credit for. He's going to be one of those guys. At the end of the college basketball season that are flying up draft boards And they're going to be like, where'd this guy come from? He's that good. Yeah, that could. Yeah, that's it. Pettiford. He's really, really good, man. He can create his own shot. He's quick as a hiccup. He can facilitate. He'll defend. I like that kid.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
They also have Baker Mazzara on there as well.
Yeah,
I haven't watched a ton of Auburn, if I'm being completely honest with the folks.
I haven't either, but the fact that Cooper Flagg was on the floor. Mm-hmm. K2, Con Knipple was on the floor. Your boy, Broom, I know how much you love him. He was on the floor. Malawach was on the floor. And the guy who stood out to me was Pettiford. Now, Cooper Flagg stood out also. I'm not gonna lie. His shot-making ability at that size and all the other intangibles and things that Cooper Flagg does, the talk about him not being the number one overall pick is just silly to me still.
We do this every single year with guys who are quote-unquote people like to throw around the word generational a lot.
Yeah, that's a little
I'm
too
not
much.
Saying Cooper Flagg is a generational, but there's always people who are going to be like, they're going to take that stand, whether it's for attention or whether it's they actually believe it. They're like, I actually don't think this guy's that good. And it's just like,
you mean what? People post things on social media for click engagement?
Yeah, listen, man.
Oh my God.
I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news, but yes, that does happen.
I had no idea. I'm so naive.
Yeah.
Now,
it's truly unfortunate reality. But Isaiah Evans was also good too. He had 6 threes.
Yeah, Isaiah Evans had a heck of a run in that first half. He wasn't as good in the second half, though. But he needs to be able to do a little bit more than three-point shooting. But that's all he really does right now. But he's young. We'll see how that goes.
He had one rebound.
He had one rebound. Kayshawn George got drafted early last year, and literally all he did was shoot threes. Like, that was his only skill. When I scouted him and watched the tape, his only skill was shooting threes. And lo and behold, for the Washington Wizards, what does he do? He only shoots threes. That's all he does.
You're also describing one Cam Christie.
Yes.
To me.
Wasn't that high on Cam Christie.
Was I.
But so Cooper Flagg, really quick. His defensive win shares out of a max of four, whatever these are, plus and minuses from Tankathon. Four. Defensive BPM, four. Defensive rating, four. Draft age, four. Defensive rebounds, three. Assists, three. Blocks, three. So when we talk about all this, well, he's not a elite scoring, you know, Kevin Durant or Carmelo Anthony. His scoring is going to be just fine. He's averaging like 16, 17 points per game. Relax. He's going to grow.
On bad efficiency, but again, he's still averaging 17 a game.
Against
and he's also 17. Like, what are we talking about?
He's 17 years old. That's right. He's only 17 years old. So it's going to get better, people, on the offensive end. And you cannot ignore all the other things he does on the court. There's multiple facets to basketball, not just scoring. And also, anytime they needed a bucket, him and Tyrese Proctor were the ones who would score. And the way he would get his shot was impressive to me. Stepping through, shooting over the defender, not necessarily having to be wide open looks, fighting through contact. So I just wanted to put that out there and nip that in the bud. But Pettiford, that's the name to watch out for rising up big boards. I might do a video on that game from him. Get him some attention. Get his name circulating out there. A little buzz.
Yeah, so Tankathon can rank him 68.
Not yeah, just like the.
I know we're bashing Tankathon. I like Tankathon.
We use them all the time. Yeah, we use Tankathon all the time. So I don't use their big board per se or anything like that. I make my own big board, but it's a good point of reference just to see what people are talking about and who they're talking about. But really quick before we move on, I just want to give a big shout out to our latest subscribers. Shout out to Ryan, a channel member. Shout out to Crystal Kendall for subscribing just today. Really appreciate you and appreciate that. That really helps us out. George Diaz subscribed yesterday. Really, really appreciate the support. So a like on the stream. If you want to support us so we can keep doing this every other day and be able to make the breakdowns and videos, you can like, subscribe. It all helps. If you want to become a channel member for only $2.99, you get access early, badges, emotes in the chat. Also, you get access to our breakdowns before they come out to the public. So all that good stuff. Many thanks. Really appreciate everybody for all of that. But really quick, do you have anything else you want to talk about on the college basketball front before we wrap up today's show?
Nothing that comes to mind, though.
I got one thing. So somebody in the off-the-floor Discord for Five Reasons Sports posted Neek Clifford in his game, and they asked, is he going to be a first-round pick or is he going to be a second-round pick? Is he somebody that Miami can get, blah, blah, blah. Where do you think Neek Clifford goes in this crowded 2025 draft class?
I think early second.
See, I think he's a late second, borderline undrafted in this really? Class. I do, in this class. I think he messed up. I think he made a mistake. I think he should have went in last year's draft class. And I'll tell you why. When I watch Neek Clifford play, he does a lot of things, but he doesn't do anything great. So like his boy, Isaiah Stevens, who went undrafted, probably one of the best facilitating guards that were in that draft. Pure facilitating standpoint. Pure old school point guard. There's nothing that Neek Clifford does that's exceptional. It's like, oh, that's his skill. That's his ticket.
There's one thing that he's significantly improved upon. Or maybe not significantly improved upon, but he's averaging 11 rebounds a game. I don't know.
Yes. If you know. I did see that. That is phenomenal from him.
He had 17 last night.
But also, his competition, though, that he's playing currently. Who has he played early in this season?
Ole Miss and maybe Washington are the only one that you can look at.
That's my point, my man. That's my point. Now, maybe they do something in the tournament. Maybe they play better competition and I'll change my mind. But for me, I'm not saying what the other NBA teams think. Yeah, he's a good player. I think he's a good player. I just don't know how much what value he's going to have in NBA circles outside of that bottom half of the second round. Let me ask you, Neek Clifford or Jalen Bridges?
I mean, we're comparing guys from two different draft classes.
I am for a reason. Who's the better player? Better college player.
College player?
Yeah. Like if you were coming out, like say they were both coming out, cause he should have been in this last draft.
I might lean Clifford.
It's close though, right?
Yeah, it's close.
Okay. Bridges went undrafted.
But we talked about it last time that he shouldn't have been.
I agree with you, but do you see what I mean about the NBA not valuing some of these older players that don't have an elite skill? And Bridges had an elite skill, which was shooting, and he was 6'8 with long arms. So like, I just think Neek Clifford's going to have a hard way to go in these evaluations. How old is he?
He's old. He's like, I think he's going to be turning 23 on draft night.
Yeah.
23 on draft night.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you, I think it's going to be a rough. I think he made a mistake. He should have went out last year. Tankathon has him bottom of the, or very, very top of the second round. That's where Tankathon has him. And if his measurables, if he comes in under 6'6", that's going to be tough.
I think he does have a pretty good wingspan.
I want to see what, was he at the combine?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. He pulled out at the last minute, right?
Yeah.
I got his stats. I can get those then. Hold on, I have it saved. There we go, and just sort by player name.
6'8 wingspan. So okay, maybe it wasn't as good as I thought it was. He measured 6'5 barefoot. So he's
a legit 6'6 then with shoes.
6'8
wingspan's decent. It's decent. How did he do on the jumping and stuff? Strength and
30 inch standing vert, 37 max.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's not bad. Not terrible.
The thing that, I mean, this is just to give you an inside scoop on the Mountain West this year.
Yeah, give me the scoop.
He will be going up against a couple of good teams soon. Like, he does have VCU on the schedule soon. Colorado, he plays Colorado, I think, this week.
Right.
And so there are some, like, beefier non-conference. Like, he went up against, again, I mentioned Ole Miss, where he had 18-7-5 on 8-12 shooting. He was one of their only, like, offensive contributors that game.
Right.
And that was on the road. Washington, he fouled out, but he had 13-9 in 27 minutes. TCU went into overtime. He had 25-12-6 with three blocks. But that, 43 minutes. And then obviously Loyola Marymount's stepped down in competition. But then once you dive into the Mountain West, it's not as deep as it was last year.
Right.
Like, it's not as, like, San Diego State is still really good, but they're not the San Diego State, like, that's going to be competing for national title.
Yeah.
And obviously that was 2 years ago, but, like, they're still a solid program. Boise State's going to be good. My beloved Nevada, if you watch every game that they've played outside of Monday, which was a poo-poo.
Did you say Nevada?
Yeah. Yeah, I did say Nevada. Like, they're a solid team, but it's not as good as it was. Like, I don't think the top end of the conference is as good as it was last year.
Right.
The conference did get depleted in terms of, like, the production loss. Like, they lost 9 out of their top 10 scorers, one of them being Isaiah Stevens.
My God.
Like, they got gutted a little bit. And, like, obviously it's easier in today's era of college athletics and college basketball to replace it from year to year. Utah State's another one that's really good, but I just don't think that the top, as of right now at least, that can obviously change as the season goes along, but I don't think the top is going to be as good. So I don't know if, like, the defense is like, Nevada's a good defense, San Diego State's always a flagship defense, Boise has a solid defense. Like, he's going to be facing good defenses in conference, but I don't know if it's going to be as good as it was last year.
Right.
But I do think him being, like, a primary option this time.
Yeah.
Is something that's going to help him. At least, like, he's scouted against. Like,
yes.
They have him atop the scouting report. And so I think that's going to be something that works to his advantage.
Absolutely.
As time goes on. And so that's where I see it helping him. Like, I am with you. Like, yeah, if you're an undrafted, or if you go, obviously, the 2024 class, we've talked about it, flat draft at the top, solid role players in the middle and the second round. Like, yeah, if you're projected to go undrafted in this draft, like, what makes you think it's going to be 24? Like, I think there are improvements that he can make this year. And, like,
well, he can. He can improve his game. Yes.
The rebounding, like, the playmaking, like, there's obviously stuff that he can improve this year to help him in this next one.
Well, let me give you this.
I still think he's a first-round prospect. But.
Well, let me give you this, though, because on this big board from Tankathon, the players underneath Neek Clifford, right? You have Donnie Freeman, freshman. Rashir Fleming, junior. Isaiah Evans, freshman. Noah Penda, he's international, but he's only 20 years old. Tyrese Proctor's a junior. He's 21. Darian Reed, freshman. Alex Tooley, again, another international player, but he's 21. Kwame Evans, sophomore, 20 years old. You see the picture I'm trying to paint here? There's a lot of really young talent that's going to be in that neighborhood where he's at. And I can see him falling because of his age and the lack of competition. Potentially.
Because we see this every year.
Yeah.
This happened with Neek last year.
Yes.
Guys are going to go back.
That is true.
Again, not saying all of these guys are going to, you know, like Darion, like there's no guarantee that any of these guys go back.
But also players are going to move up too, like Pettiford. Pettiford's going to be in the mix.
It's very fluid, you know, month by month, day by day, week by week. Like it's very fluid, game by game. Like
right.
That's just how this stuff works.
Yes.
I mean, we won't get a better idea of where Neek stands until April, June. Like we won't. April, May, like we won't have a good enough idea, but there's going to be guys that like, whether, I mean, I think this is Neek's last eligible year, so I don't think he can go back, but there might be, you know, guys here and there that are like, okay, I'm, you know, in the 40 to 60 range
right.
of the second round
right.
for this upcoming class. Well, I'm not getting great feedback at the combine. For whatever reason,
I'm going to go back to school.
They want me to improve upon. So they're going to go back to school or they're going to transfer.
I'm going
to
take that NIL money.
yeah. Like that's just the reality of college athletics. And so like that can obviously hurt him if they stay, or that can help him if they don't stay, or like he can just, as well as his performance, he can vault up to, you know, a potential top 25 player, or he can, not do that.
Right.
And so like we won't really have an idea of where he's at, but as of right now, I think he would be like a early to mid second round pick. Like I think someone would take a chance on him, especially since he was in last year's draft cycle.
Right.
So there's already some familiarity there.
Yeah, for sure.
There's a sample there. And so I think a team, that's pretty much what this is until draft night.
Well, let's wrap this up full circle, and we're going to circle back to the Sacramento Kings in the 2025 draft, having the 11th overall pick in the draft. Approximately. It's going to be in the lottery, so say it's 11th, because that's what Tankathon has. It could be anywhere, right? But they only have one pick. If Fox opts out, it changes everything. If he doesn't sign back with Sacramento, he wants to be with Bam in Miami, maybe. No, I'm just kidding.
Let's not
aggregate it. Hey, dude, stir it up. But let's just say Fox resigns. He was in it for the money, trying to get the best contract he could. Asa Newell could be there. Colin Boyles could be there. Some bigs to go with Sabonis down low. I like some of these bigs in this draft class in that around that spot.
How do you think that fits? Would you want to disrupt the Keegan Murray? I know he's having a down year, but like the Keegan Murray at the four, or Harrison.
I don't like him at the four.
Not Harrison Barnes, because he's not there anymore.
But. Nah, I don't. He's not there anymore. He's on
he's in San Antonio.
San Antonio. He's rocking with my boy Steph Castle. Don't get me talking Steph Castle. This pod will go for another hour. Start talking about Steph Castle.
Is Steph Castle the worst point guard prospect? No.
That's it. I'm finding a new person to talk basketball with. No, man.
Would you want to disrupt that though, especially with the spacing? Like we've talked about Newell before and how he doesn't necessarily space the floor yet.
Yeah, right. But he's not going to start the first year.
Potentially, yeah. Like, would you want to disrupt that with Sabonis there, who's also not a floor spacer?
Newell's not going to start his first year. If you have Sabonis and Keegan, yeah, he's going to come off the bench. He's going to help you out with lineups and stuff like that. Makes you more athletic. But at the same time, I don't think Keegan's really a four. Like, I think he's more of a wing. Like, he's a big wing. I think they use him very strangely in Sacramento, to be honest with you. But I'm just interested in who they would take at 11, because this draft has so many players. They could go a lot of different ways, depending on who's going to be there. But
haven't they been trying to trade Herder for like 2 years now?
It feels like every team he's on, they're trying to trade him. Like
K2's right there.
Yeah. If K2 falls, it's, you know what? But so I really need to see what happens with his foot speed after college. Like, once he has a chance to dedicate himself to try to work on it, how that looks at the combine. Like, I don't know, man. I love K2's game. I've done a video on it. You know how I feel about K2. That foot speed scares me, especially watching what happens. Like, what happens in the NCAA tournament is going to determine a lot of, like, how I view him at the next level. Because seeing him go against high competition, quality competition, time and time and time again. But we'll see. It's kind of like the Podjeski, you know, conversation. Because I wasn't a huge Pods fan coming out because of his lack of foot speed. And he's all right. But you see now that he's been scouted. He hasn't been nearly effective as he was his rookie year. Not nearly as effective. But that's a podcast for another day. Before we get out of here, Matt, let the people know where they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
At @MPH_824_. That's where you can find me at on Twitter. HotOnHoops.com, MountainWestConnection.com, VendettaSportsMedia.com, WatchPlayback.tv, /500SN. You can find Adele, myself, and plenty of others from the Five Regions Sports Network bickering about the Miami Heat, or praising the Miami Heat, which doesn't feel like that doesn't feel like a commonplace nowadays. Although it was last night against the Lakers, who, again,
the most pitiful defense you'll ever see played in your entire life. I give you the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yikes. Lakers. Yikes.
Yikes.
There might be the potential at some point where the Heat might have a lottery pick. I don't know. So that would be fun for them to be in the Cooper Flag sweepstakes if they don't make the playoffs.
Anybody in that top five would be an amazing get for the Miami Heat.
Could you imagine the Miami Heat having a top five pick in next year's class?
Oh, my goodness, dude. It would be amazing. It would be amazing. Yeah, absolutely incredible.
Man. That's where they would draft, like, Will Riley.
No. Oh, my God, dude. I'd lose my freaking mind.
Liam McNeely. Draft him seven.
Freaking Liam McNeely. Somebody was like, who was it? Liam McNeely's having an amazing game. And I look and it's like, he's got 14 points and like five rebounds. It was an amazing game for Liam McNeely.
7 points, 8 rebounds, 1 assist, 3 blocks last night for one Liam McNeely against Baylor.
Oh my God, he was so good. And guess who didn't play? Edgecombe didn't play. Some other dude didn't play. Like, Nah, don't get out of here with this Liam McNeely. I'm all out on McNeely, dude.
I'm not. Listen, man, there's still plenty of basketball left to be played. I'm not all out on him yet, but I would just find it very funny how for 2 straight years they draft Liam McNeely they didn't draft Liam McNeely 2 straight years, but they draft a guy that you wouldn't want.
Imagine going from Stephon Castle to Liam McNeely as a coach.
Well, I mean, he's not their point guard, so.
I don't care. I'm just saying, like, that's your best player? Like, the talent drop off.
Their best player.
Who?
I mean, maybe not their best prospect, but
Caravan's their best. Well, he's definitely been their best player, but I'm just saying, like, your hopes and dreams of tournaments and dancing is on Liam McNeely. And
did you see Dan Hurley headbutt Aiden Mahaney last night? Like, he was so fired up after, I don't remember what the sequence was, but he was so fired up, he just headbutted.
I love it. Absolutely. I love Dan Hurley. Love it.
People don't like Dan Hurley, and I understand why they don't like Dan Hurley, but for the reasons why they don't like him, I love him.
Exactly. For all the reasons people don't like him, I absolutely love Dan Hurley, dude. He's a freaking psychopath. I love it. It's fantastic, dude. But we're going to get out of here. You can find me on Twitter, on Blue Sky, anywhere social media, Instagram under Digital Adele. You can find this Beyond the Backboard podcast anywhere podcasts are found. They will go up for replay the day after we do them live. So just to go over the schedule again real quick, live Tuesdays and Thursdays, same time, about 3:35 every day. And then it'll be up the following day, Wednesdays and Fridays on not, I almost said iPad. Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Spotify, anywhere podcasts are found. So I thank you for joining me as always, Matt.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.